case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
5:05 in about 3 hours or so. Game one of the World Series. We're going to take you right up until the Yankee pregame show coming up at 7:25. Right now, Cinco de 5:05.
Cinco de 5:05 with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de 5:05 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. We are sitting here a couple hours away from the start of the World Series. And the beautiful part about the start of the World Series is that there are moments that are going to happen and unfold over the next week to 10 days that we don't know yet, right? Every World Series is memory. So I'm here to give you my prediction on 5 moments that will happen over the course of the next 10 days during the World Series.
Let's see how creative you are, because in 2009, who would have thought of the double stolen base, right? So let's see how creative Sean Morash is.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Joe Beningo will reference Ohtani and gambling at some point on the air.
That's tomorrow at 10:02.
All right.
Well, let me just say something about this guy. He has gotten away with it. We don't know what it is, but...
Number 4.
I'm with you, Joe.
Aaron Judge will hit his first World Series home run when a game is already out of hand.
So he's going to get heat for it?
What?
I don't know if he'll get heat.
Is that a knock on Judge?
It's not a knock, but it's going to cause discussion.
Oh, he hit one, but the game was out of hand.
So 7-0 Yankees tonight. He hits one in the top of the 8th inning to make it 8-0. That's what you're saying.
Yes, and you know what the discussion will be.
He only hits them when they're out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't
I'm not
mean,
saying
but maybe he only gets
heat
pitched to when it's out of hand.
I like what you're thinking, Tiki, but this is a prediction. All right, here we go.
Number 3.
Clay Holmes will strike out Shohei Ohtani in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And we will go. Remember all those times we dissed Clay Holmes? Here we go.
Number 2.
The Yankees will have an inning ruined by bad base running.
Oh, that's a lock.
What are the odds on
Shocker.
That?
The key is it an inning ruined? Is it a game ruined? Is it a season ruined? Because I think that's the fear that one has, and it's been said a lot throughout this year when Gleyber Torres would make a defensive miscue or, in this case, a base-running miscue. This happens in October. This is going to kill us. Now, they've made mistakes in October, as we've seen. It hasn't killed them. It's been footnotes. Is this the moment where it comes back and it kills them?
We shall see. And last but not least.
Number one
undoubtable moment that will happen over the course of the next 10 days during the World Series. The Jets will have something dysfunctional happen or said that takes attention away from the World Series.
Can you believe this? Can you believe this guy?
I mean.
This is the Yankees moment and you troll the Jets at number one.
The problem is he's likely not incorrect.
That's why it's not a troll. I'm stating what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's Cinco de Five.
All right, thank
Good
you.
Good luck for us to pass.
I thought that sucked. I need to do one for you now. Ooh. I'm going to give you a Cinco de Five-O. I'm going to get that list did not work. I'm going to show you how to do a list like
it's
this.
Cinco de Evo.
Yeah, Cinco de Evo.
We still have the Cinco de Evo music?
Do we have we ever had Cinco de Evo music?
Not music, but the intro. Do we have it?
No, we had Tommy do the intro.
No, there was one. I swear there was one.
No, there is. And Tommy voices it.
No, there was an actual one.
There was a song?
No, not a song. But it was just like you have the Cinco de Five-O. There was a Cinco de Evo.
I promise you we're talking about the same thing. It's Tommy's voice.
Oh, I Cinco know. Cinco de Evo on Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Yeah, but I always thought he just did that.
No, it was a long time ago recorded.
If you really want, I'll make an AI song.
No. Turn my mic off.
All right, give me some fire.
Here we go.
Number 5.
A prominent player is going to get busted and thrown out of the game as they try to enter the game because of sticky stuff.
Ooh.
What? Yeah, we're going to have some fun here. We're going to play the game the right way. That's number 5. Who's the pitcher? I have no idea. I'm probably going to lean towards Blake Treinen. He just looks like a cheater.
Wow.
Just look at his face. He looks like somebody that'd be like, how's my slider move like that? I'm not telling you. Oh, well, did I just drop some Vaseline? That's not supposed to be a dirty joke. That's supposed to be a scuffing the ball joke.
Would he be trying to get caught?
Number 4.
You ready for this one?
Good one.
Someone is hitting 2 home runs in 1 inning. Who's that person, you ask?
Mm.
I'm going to go with Alex Verdugo.
No. The most likely person is Juan Soto.
All right.
Actually, it's probably a Dodger because they have the better lineups of the bat around, so it's likely to be Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts, okay.
Number three.
There is going to be an umpiring call that is going to take over sports talk radio in both New York and California, and it will probably be a call that was reviewed, not overturned, and things such as, what's the point of replay if we're not going to fix this bleep? That will happen in this series.
I think it's going to be a slide into second base where Gleyber Torres tags a guy, takes his glove off, and pleads that he was out while the guy goes off the base and then gets back on before he really tags him. Oh, wait, that happened already. Sorry.
Wow, you're taking shots at Gleyber, man.
Wow. Number two.
Someone's hitting a walk-off grand slam.
Yeah.
A walk-off. How many times does that happen in the World Series?
I don't know.
Why don't you look it up?
Stop channeling your Mets.
What does that have to do with the Mets?
Nothing.
It has nothing to do with the Mets.
Who hit the most grand slams in the postseason this year?
Well, that's the Mets, but that has nothing to do with the World Series. They're not in.
Like
they're not
I
even
said,
in.
Stop channeling your Mets.
That's too fairy tale.
You guys are crazy. I'm not even talking about the Mets. Get to number one.
Number one.
You were what you were.
Shohei Ohtani will get two hits this entire World Series.
Ooh, a dead Tani series.
That's right.
No Tani.
The Yankees are going to pitch around him a lot, and he's going to get a little kind of jumpy towards the end and end up kind of chasing pitches out of the strike zone. Shohei Ohtani will only have two hits in this seven-game series. Now, look, here's the reality of my five predictions.
He's going to have four tonight.
Probably. Like, they're all out of the box, but that's the kind of stuff you'll never forget. I don't even remember anything on your list, and you did it 5 minutes ago. Literally, can you name one thing he put on his list of things we'll never forget? Go ahead. Name one thing. One thing.
No, I don't remember.
You can't even name a thing.
Hey, hey.
Oh, no. I do remember one.
Go ahead.
Clay Holmes will strike out Shohei Ohtani.
There you go.
Okay.
You finished one.
The name of my list
was it
things you'll never forget. It was just it? Predictions of things that are going to happen over the next 10 days.
They were five very boring predictions. Get out of here.
Can I give one prediction?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God. That'd be good.
A 1-0 DeTomeo.
We saw this in the Padres-Dodgers series almost.
Okay.
I think we will have a Jeffrey Mayer situation, but in reverse now. A Dodger fan.
Oh.
And it will hurt the Yankees. I'm not saying Yankees lose the series.
You son of a bitch. I am so jealous I didn't have that on my list. That's so good.
Thank you.
That's so good.
YouTube,
and that's the big talking point. And here we are all these years later. Now it happens to them.
What he's saying is that the fences in LA are pretty short.
Very short.
And that there's going to be a fan interference controversy. It's kind of a variation of what I said about
Jeffrey Mayer.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about John Mayer.
Yeah, because like, Profar had this situation.
Have this thing to do with this.
No, John Legend will be there with Chrissy Teigen in the third row. Not in the outfield.
Yeah, there was an incident where Jurickson Profar was kind of leaping into the stands, and he made this great catch. So he's saying, it's basically a merging of my controversial idea, but it's fleshed out a lot better going with what you're going with, which is that there's a fan interference call, and that's what's going to be the talk of the town, and it'll be a reverse Jeffrey Mayer, where it actually hurts the Yankees, and Yankee fans are complaining about it, and older people like us are saying, what about Jeffrey Mayer? And younger Yankee fans are saying, why does that matter? And Tiki's saying, how did John Mayer get involved?
And it's also a tie-in to the outfield, right? We hate that outfield. Yankee fans hate the outfield at Dodger Stadium.
What did that outfield ever do to you? I can say I think that's a good prediction. See, that's how you make predictions, Sean.
Yeah, Sean's was...
It was just very blah. It was almost like you mailed it in. It was almost like it was a Friday, and you said, I don't really care.
Worried about the Rangers.
No, or actually, my five will actually come true, and you guys are coming up with hocus pocus.
But, Sean, I don't even remember your five. I've already forgotten
them. It wasn't memorable. It was just five things that are going to happen.
But that's not exciting.
Who said, hey, here's an exciting list. I'm just giving you the list.
Okay.
Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere.
All right. I'll give you five boring predictions then. Gerrit Cole's going to strike a couple of guys out.
That's not what I did either.
Aaron Judge will get a base hit, Tiki.
And it was just his ass.
I got a good one.
I got one.
Juan Soto's going to shuffle.
No, I was going to say Juan Soto's going to walk.
That's not what I did. It was four things to get to the Jets suck. I mean, don't I learn the list?
So you did a whole list to just say the Jets are pathetic?
Yes.
Kiss my fat ass!
By the way.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. If a fan interference does happen,
you
know what we're going to find out afterwards?
What?
Within a half an hour of fan interference where the world explodes, Aaron Rodgers will officially endorse a presidential candidate or something like that. And then we're going, oh, my God, can you believe we did that?
I'm lost with him.
I don't.
I mean, the Jets are irrelevant right now.
There is an election.
There is.
All right, I'm going. You guys finish it.
There is. Isn't that election in like a week and a half or something like that?
Week and a half.
By the way, I was just looking.
Like, how many days is it?
I support anyone's way to vote.
NFL trade deadline.
Yeah, same day. NFL trade deadline. I support anyone's way to vote. Like, voting early is cool. I am not against it. Good for you if you do it. I need that Tuesday rush, man. I need to wait on that line. I need to walk up there. I need to get my freaking sticker that says I voted. I need to walk in there with my James Garfield t-shirt, and nobody better tell me that's political.
What is your venue?
What's my venue?
Yes.
A school.
It's a school.
Yeah.
Mine's a library.
That's kind of boring.
It is kind of boring.
Yeah.
But the library's cool.
Yeah.
I have a library card.
Oh, very nice.
So I feel like I'm walking into a place that I'm a member of.
Oh, so you feel
not everybody's
special.
A member of the library. So,
in fact, most people aren't.
But what you don't realize is that as a member of the library, you get so many things.
You do.
Like free Wall Street Journal, which you normally have to pay for.
You could also get like free VHS tapes if you want to take 100%. Them home and try to watch.
There's movies. Yes. There's everything.
No, you're 100% right. The library is not a bad place, but man, I want to go back there. I want to go into that curtain all by myself, and I want to vote.
I'm a loser.
And I'm going to vote.
Thank God he said vote. Had us worried for a second.
Yeah, I'm going to take my time, but I'm going to do it. The one thing I
vote.
Miss.
You're going to vote. Right. Just make that clear.
Every time he's like, I've got to take mine, I'm like, take my pants off?
I didn't say any of that. That's what I thought. No. Boy, you guys are dirty, man. So God bless you if you're voting early. I'm just saying, get me to Tuesday, man. I can't wait. Now, let me get to this L.A. conspiracy going on. So apparently, the L.A. media is trying to explain away the fact that their fans are pathetic. Okay? This is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. You may have already heard this, that, hey, there's a crazy traffic in L.A. The Lakers have a game tonight against Kevin Durant and the Suns. USC has a game tonight, actually against Rutgers. There's a concert at the brand new Intuit Dome. There's this really big high school football game. It's happening at SoFi Stadium. And, of course, there's the World Series. By the way, all that stuff's true.
And the Lakers play.
And that was the first thing I said, bro. Thank you. I said he played Kevin Durant and the Suns. Okay. So there's all these things going on. Sean wanted to take a shot back at me, and he just can't because I already said it. I love you, bro. It was a bad Cinco, but you're still my guy. I just want you to know that. Still my guy.
Happy birthday, Jay Cousins.
Happy birthday, Jay Cousins. So there are five events going on. Now, you may say to yourself, okay, well, what does that mean? So the city of L.A. is already trying to explain why their stadium is going to be half empty at 8:08. 5:08 local time. And the reality is, and I'll give you the reality, there's always traffic in L.A., okay? They understand that there's a lot of events going on and that the emptiness of Dodger Stadium has nothing to do with a Rutgers game that starts 3 hours after the Dodger-Yankee game starts. It has nothing to do with a Laker game that starts a few hours after the Dodger game starts. It's that Dodger fans are, read my lips here, pathetic. They're sad, pathetic figures.
Or just divided.
They're not divided. They don't show up to games ever, whether it's May, April, or October.
So they're using this.
That's okay. Oh, that's fine. Then give that answer. Don't blame all these other events for why Dodger Stadium is going to be half empty at the beginning of a World Series game. Just own the fact that you're sad, pathetic fans. That's all I'm saying. Now, if you'd like to defend them,
go ahead. Not defending them. I'm just saying there's a lot of things to do in Los Angeles. And just like in New York, the ticket, the get-in number for the Dodgers and the Yankees is stupid high.
Yeah.
And for what you could pay to get in for one seat into that game, you could take a family of 10 to, like, I don't know, a movie every day of the week.
How does that explain the place being empty to start the game?
It's not going to be empty.
Nah, it always is. That's what they do. Huh. That's what those people do.
I don't think so.
They're
it's Friday.
Okay.
You ain't got no job. You ain't got bleep else to do. What else are you doing? Nobody works on Friday, right? They've been sitting out there all day in the beautiful California sun.
They
just
will.
Just waiting in their, I'm trying to think, what the blue? What color is their blue? Is it just
baby blue?
No, it's not baby
Dodger
blue.
Dodger blue.
Yeah, let's call it Dodger. And they're Dodger blue.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the pinstripes to come in town, even though it won't be pinstriped. Right? It just that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah, but they are a fan base, and this is the way it's always been. It's not really controversial, it's just a fact. They show up late, they leave early.
That's not changing for the World Series. So for the LA media to put out there, there's a Laker game, there's a USC game, there's a high school game.
Well, maybe it's
It's a fact that those games are being played. It's not a fact that that's going to be the reason why the place is embarrassingly empty to start a World Series game. It's always like that. So I'm just here to help you take the fog away,
mm-hmm.
the LA fog away, and push it away and know that those excuses are not real. It's just all made up stuff to try to explain away their patheticness. And look, you can own that. Like Tiki said, that's what they are. They don't care about baseball. Okay, that's fine. They don't have to do it. Here's what I know. On Monday night at Yankee Stadium, the Knicks are home too, by the way. They're going to be home Monday night. I think they play the Cleveland Cavaliers that evening. Are the Nets home that night? They may be. And by the way, I say that because there'll be 17,000 people at Barclays Center. There are human beings that will go to said game.
The Nets still in the league?
They may not be, but people will show up, right? There's going to be concerts. And God knows there's going to be Broadway shows.
Yeah.
And we know there'll be traffic. And I can guarantee you this. Yankee Stadium will be packed and will be jumping from first pitch
That's
on.
That's not fair, Evan.
Why?
It's not fair.
Why?
How many times have you been to L.A.?
I've been to L.A. about 13 times.
Okay. How many times have you been on public transportation in L.A.?
Zero.
Exactly.
I would never.
Exactly. No, you would never because it doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist?
There is not public transportation.
That's why there's so much traffic?
Yes. Ugh. Everybody drives. Have you ever seen a subway in Los Angeles?
No.
Have you ever seen a monorail above ground so you don't have to stop and wait?
No.
No. So you have to drive. In New York, all the things that you're saying are true. 100,000 people in time, probably more than that, the 3 million people in Times Square want to go to Broadway. If a Yankee fan lives on the West Side, you know what they do? They get on the train and they avoid it. So I hear what you're saying, but you're not being fair.
Do I have to be fair?
No, but I'm just telling you.
I'm just thinking, like, I live in New York. Why do I have to be fair to California?
That's why I hate Los Angeles.
Have to be too.
Because you can't get anywhere. And you just want to jump on something that's going to take you without I don't have my car, whatever. I'm beholden to whatever schedule's going on. But at least I can get there in some reasonable amount of time. Doesn't work.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You can't do it.
Horrible city.
Yankee fans are going to get there early on Monday, too, because Fat Joe's performing for the game. Joey Crack.
I saw
that. That's a reason to get out there early. Yankee fans, if you win the tickets, if you're heading out early, Fat Joe's going
to
do
Are people against that or something? Because I know that when the Mets have concerts, I have to deal with people bitching about it. Met fans, Yankee fans mocking. And I'm always like, it's fun. And I remember in 2009, Jay-Z performed.
And
Alicia Keys at Yankee Stadium before, I think maybe game one or game two. I forget which one. They had a home field advantage in that series against Philadelphia. And it's the same thing. I'm very consistent on these issues. I don't know if other people are. I don't know if they just kind of changed their opinion based on the teams. I don't know. But are people actually against Fat Joe performing? Do I have to fight you, Sean?
No, not at all.
You're a hypocrite. Okay, cool.
It's the World Series, not a division series or an AL or NLCS. It's time for it to be a theatrical theater, just like the Super Bowl for baseball.
So theater okay in World Series, not okay in LCS and division series.
By the way, I think concerts are stupid ahead of an NFC wild card game, but the Super Bowl, great.
They love to move these goalposts.
Also, Fat Joe is a legend from the Bronx. Right, I think if it was somebody that was an out-of-towner, but this is, we're talking about a New York City hip-hop legend.
And also, Fat Joe's still alive. They're not putting a fake Fat Joe up there, like the Temptation thing.
Okay, yeah, well, see why did it have to.
I've already addressed the Temptation thing. I had a problem with that because it wasn't really the Temptations. I'm just referring to the idea of having fun, which I'm okay with. I'm okay. By the way, I disagree with you. It can happen in a regular season game. It can happen in a division series game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not have a problem with this, so I just want to nip that in the bud in case anybody's got a problem. Like, it's fun. It's the World Series. Even if it's not, it's baseball. Let's do it, man. I don't know very much about Fat Joe, but I respect his legendness. Is he a legend?
You don't know much. I love you to death. I'm going to couch this. Fat Joe literally started basically when we were like right in high school.
Yeah.
Like him and Irv Gotti, Ashanti, Ja. That was like right when I was a senior. So that was like our formative years. You don't remember listening to Fat Joe at all?
He wasn't listening to that kind of music.
But he wasn't really in his country music phase yet, I don't think.
I wasn't listening to any music.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I was listening to walk-up music when I was at Shea Stadium.
Or all the WWF, WWE CDs.
Yeah, like my music knowledge is based on walk-up music. That's how I know Big Pimpin' so well. Not because I was rocking it out of my car, but because that was Derek Bell's theme song, and I thought it was bad.
You're telling me...
What was he spinning?
Big Pimpin' in the B.I.G. No, we're talking... Big Pimpin' in the NYC.
What was he spending?
What was who spending?
Jay-Z.
What do you mean, what was he spending?
In the song, what was he
I got 99 problems.
Oh, come on, man. He was spending Gouda.
Wait a minute. When you were a senior in high school, and you got a, you know, a little honey on the side here, and you're driving.
I did not have honey on the side.
You weren't love got to do with it. But you weren't playing this? These were like bangers. These were like number one hits. What did you play in the car?
Oh, that's a great question. You know what I was playing in the car? WFAN.
Oh, boy.
Mike and the Mad Dog Sports Radio. And listen by
you were culturally stunted.
Or I was listening to our radio station. Now, the truth is with music, like I'd have music on, like I would listen to Z100 or PLJ or whatever it was. Uh-huh. I just didn't know what I was listening to. So that's really been my music knowledge over my life. Like I listen to it. I just don't have any. I think my brain is so filled up with presidents, wrestling, politics,
and baseball,
U.S. history,
statistics.
Baseball, football, basketball crap, that I don't think my brain ever fit the music stuff.
You didn't realize you were a man the first time you heard Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears?
Oh, God.
I mean, I saw the video and I had thoughts, yes, but no, I don't remember.
Couldn't wait to get home for TRL for that one.
Well, good for you there, pal. I'm happy for you. But, man, I was consumed by the 2000 election. It's a lot going on, man.
Come on.
You kidding me? By the way, I don't know if I can do this
is
ethically.
That real?
The 2000 election?
Did that really happen?
Yeah, I still can't believe it. Speaking of the 2000 election, I was at my parents' house recently, and I found a love letter that was sent to me.
No!
By whom?
By a girl. Okay. I'm not going to say her name. That is not fair to her.
Why?
Because she's probably married with kids and doesn't want it exposed.
I'm sure her first name is the same as a lot of other girls' first
names. I'm not going to say her first name. I won't do it. But
was it raunchy?
I found the letter, and a part of me wants to read it. Like, would you guys want to hear a letter that was sent to me in high school? I was a loser at the time, but not too losery.
Are you serious? If you're asking me to pick one, the Yankees win the World Series, or I hear that letter.
Yeah,
I definitely have
to hear this.
I want to put that letter on my fridge.
Is it on like if I keep the name out? Because it's not fair to this woman.
Now I won't make you say her name.
Okay, she'll never know, and if she's listening right now and knows it's her, I promise you. That secret will last forever that you felt that way about me. But I found the letter. It's unbelievable. I
mean, fuck to it.
It is unbelievable. Yeah.
She did not say that.
It's a real life, like, love letter.
Profession of love?
It was so here's the deal. I was very awkward in high school. Okay. This sounds very surprising.
Was she awkward also?
Nah, she was a very nice girl. No.
Was she cool?
She was very cool. Actually.
Was she running with the cool clique?
Out of my league.
Okay,
100%.
So what did she see in you?
It's a great question. I think I was very smart and very funny. Okay, believe it or not. And she
make them laugh.
And she expressed how much she liked me, and basically how awkward I was at not returning the like, if you will. Now, looking back on it, what a moron I was. Like, I'll admit that. But, yeah, you want me to debut the letter? After the World Series. We got a lot of stuff to do.
Oh.
We got we got major attention to Yankees-Dodgers and the football season. But maybe when things get slower.
I'm rooting for a sweep now.
Tell me about it.
We can have someone professionally read the letter.
I'm a loser.
Maybe we can hire somebody. And she will come in, not the actual person, but like a famous voice actress, to read the letter that was written to me all the way back in 2000. Right after the election. I think we were talking about the election. I think that probably what got her like, wow, Evan's smart.
Wait, you got a girl wanting you by talking about the 2000 election.
Oh,
strategery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know what I was talking about.
She's a senator now, right?
Yes. Kirsten Gillibrand will join the show. God, I'm just kidding. I think she's older than me. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back to your calls. Yankee fans, here's my question for you. I believe you're going to win this series. I don't believe it to be a troll. I don't believe it. To reverse jinx you. I don't believe it because I'm trying to be nice. I believe it because you have the difference in this series, and that's Gerrit Cole. The question is, do you believe you're going to win this series? Do you have that confidence? 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Now, right before we went to commercial break, we gave you that opportunity to win New York Yankees World Series tickets. And Tiki and I were very jealous people. We wanted to be Santa Claus, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to inform Sam. Hi, Sam. Sam, how are you, sir?
Oh, my gosh. Hello?
Sam, we have got news for you. You're going to the World Series!
Oh. No way! Oh, my gosh. I'm shaking right now. I was on the highway, just put it on. I put it in my phone, and I called it right away. I called it probably 7-8 times. I'm freaking out right now.
Sam, a couple of questions. First of all, congratulations. Don't curse, because, of course, you're on the radio. Number one, and I think this is the most important question. Who are you going to take with you to Game 3 of the World Series?
I already had it all set up. I've been on the radio all day. I'm taking my best friend, Jake, and we've been to like 4 games all year, and oh my gosh, we've been fans our whole lives. It's just big time. We're both pretty young, fresh out of college, so we couldn't afford these.
Man.
So now, now we're going. Yep.
This is good.
Oh, that is amazing. I'm happy for you, man.
We are very happy for you.
So you got to call Jake now, right?
I'm calling right away. I told him to put to call the damn number. Sorry. And I got it. I'm just so flustered right now. I don't know what to say. I'm pumped, guys.
Well, Sam, congratulations. Oh, have a damn good time. If you want to call in Monday to give us like an update as you're walking in a Yankee Stadium, we'd be more than happy to take your call. We're going to put you on hold, give you all the information, and you're going to the World Series, baby.
Let's go. Let's go Yankees, baby. Yes.
Yes. All right. There he is, Sam. That worked out very well. I feel very good.
Right. That's because he's young. Couldn't afford it. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm rich. I was going to buy them on the SeatGeek anyway.
Yes, I had an algorithm running the phone number every 32 seconds because that's the timing that it takes to get calls through and for it to answer. And yes, I gamed the system and I won them. I know I'm not allowed to resell them, but I'm going to resell them on a secret secondary market that you guys don't know about.
Say that.
And I'm going to make another extra $5,000.
Yeah, that would have been the ultimate buzzkill.
By the way, my name is Mortimer.
Well, I'm happy for that guy. That's a guy who's excited, and he's going to get to go to a World Series game. So congratulations. And next week, you may want to keep listening, because maybe there'll be more opportunities to go to said World Series to see your New York Yankees take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Earlier, Tiki was asking the question, a good one, about Nestor Cortes. Because Nestor Cortes has been activated. He's going to be on the World Series roster. Mm-hmm. He has not pitched in a month. And Nestor has said that he's likely going to be used in situations to get left-handers out.
Yes.
And he could see pitching an inning, maybe two. So that's the Nestor Cortes answer on what he expects his role to be. The left-handed lane, potentially getting a guy like Shohei Ohtani out.
Okay.
Potentially going after a guy like Max Muncy.
Wouldn't that be his dream? Put me in, coach. I got him. Got Shohei? I got him, coach.
I got him.
Watch how I stutter step his ass.
he'll try.
Watch how I drop down low and throw this sidearm pitch.
Oh, you're damn right. In honor of the great Louis Tion. He'll Louis Tion his ass all over the place.
Whatever it takes, Nestor.
I think for Nestor, and he's always been honest about this, his dream was to start.
Mm-hmm.
His dream was, give me the ball for game 3 of the World Series. Give me the ball for game 4 of the World Series. And you saw that when he pitched angrily in Chicago a little over a month ago when he came out of the bullpen. And what I appreciated about Nestor is he was honest about it. Like, yeah, I want to start. I mean, you're damn right I want to start. But he also knows he wants to win.
Yeah.
And right now, this is his avenue to helping the Yankees win. He also made that comment recently of, if I have to lose a season due to injury, I'll do it if it means helping my team win a championship. And Nestor Cortes lengthens the Yankee bullpen. He gives him another left-handed option along with, you know, Tim Mesa and Tim Hill. And he gives them a better chance at winning. You know, we'll see if he can perform. There's always a question about what you're going to get from a guy when he hasn't pitched in a month, but throw him out there and you never know.
He also, I mean, I don't know why in my mind I felt like he missed time or didn't get starts. He started 30 games this year.
Yeah, he was healthy for a while till the end.
Yeah, until the end. And so we talk about being lengthened. Of course he's not lengthened recently, but it's not like he's coming off the injured list and, you know, he was out for a month and a half. Right? It just feels like Nestor has that lovability about him where we want him to be successful, even if we don't really have faith that he's going to be successful.
Well, and also keep this in mind. He made 31 starts, and that is true. That's like a full season.
Yeah.
But his season ended on September 18th, which is only 2 weeks before the regular season ended.
Yeah.
But the Yankees have been in the playoffs, so it's 2 weeks plus the month,
it's
basically,
month. Yeah.
That they've been playing. So that's why, he pitched a full season, but he hasn't pitched in over a month. And so what you could expect from him in terms of length is probably not much.
No.
But I don't think that's what they need right now. It's really giving you just another look out of that bullpen.
We have Yankee roster news. Okay, we announced the roster earlier on the show. You can go check out on the Odyssey Rewind app. The Yankees added Nestor Cortes, and they kept Trent Grisham. John Birdie is off the roster. We now know why that decision was made.
Is John Birdie hurt?
John Birdie, this according to Brian Hoke, was taken off the World Series roster because of a right hip flexor, Aaron Boone said. He sustained it running the bases in ALCS Game 4.
There you go.
Makes sense. Birdie's hurt. So it's not no harm, no foul.
Makes sense. Because I think that the Birdie takeoff, considering he was playing during the previous two rounds, did not make a lot of sense. So he's hurt, unfortunately, for him. I was also reading something interesting about, you know, a key injury the Dodgers have. And a guy by the name of Evan Phillips, who Met fans are familiar with, they saw him in the NLCS, is one of the Dodgers' best relievers. And apparently, one of the reasons why he didn't make the roster is that he is already dealing with a pre-existing injury. And when you're dealing with a pre-existing injury, if that injury just doesn't get better,
right,
you can't be taken off the roster. You're only able to be taken off roster if it's a new injury. And so I think the Dodgers thought to themselves, and it makes a lot of sense, if we can't guarantee he's going to be ready, and we can't guarantee that this isn't going to get better, we can't risk it because we can't get him off the roster. Unless we, it's a phrase now, unless they Billy Epler the situation by just making up a brand new injury.
Yeah, oh, it's my shoulder now.
Right.
To get him off the roster. I think that's the only way they could do it. Anyhow, we do make NFL picks right around this time, and we will today, because that is our damn obligation to you, to realize how bad we are at picking football games. Or, in some case, how right we are. Our football picks are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. By Elec A25, building our future. And by Samwell Institute for Pain Management, visit samwellpain.com. So yesterday, we all made one pick for the Thursday night game. Tiki was pretty mad at us for all picking the Rams. Mm-hmm. We all won. Tiki all lost. Mm-hmm. So here's your updated standings. I'm in first place, 22-17. Another good year. What am I doing? Like, what have I made some kind of deal with the gambling devil? Tommy Lugauer right on my heels, mostly because he steals my picks, 21-18. Then you've got Sean Morash at 14-25 and Tiki Barber at 13-26. We all have to pick the Jet-Patriot game, and then two other games of our choosing. We'll obviously pick the Giant game on Monday. Since Sean Morash is the hottest man in the land right now, Sean, why don't you kick off our NFL pick proceedings?
I'd love to, Ev. Game number one is an easy one for me. The return of Hawk Tua in Miami as Tua comes back, and the Dolphins feel like a playable gambling option again. They're laying 4.5 versus the Cardinals, who had a big win on Monday night. But it is a short week, and I just think Miami's going to feel rejuvenated, if only for just one week. Tyreek gets in the end zone. We're only laying 4.5 here. Give me the Dolphins and that Miami Sun Sunday at 1 o'clock, laying 4.5, pick number one. Pick number two, I'm going to Jacksonville. The Jaguars, after basically spending a month in London, whooped up on the Patriots and felt good about themselves. Doug Peterson doesn't get fired. But in come the Green Bay Packers, who have been pretty steady all season long. And one thing about that Packers secondary, led by Xavier McKinney, they love picking off quarterbacks. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a tough time on Sunday. And the Packers are just laying 3.5 here on the road. I think Green Bay throttles Jacksonville in this spot. Give me the Packers laying 3.5, pick number two. And pick number three. We go to New England. A rivalry like no other. Patriots and Jets. Jets and Patriots. I really want to laugh the Jets out of the building here. They've screwed my 16-1 thing. One problem. The Patriots stink. I will lay the touchdown with the Jets very uncomfortably on Sunday. 7 points. I'll hold my nose as I do it, but give me the Jets laying 7.
Tommy Lugauer.
All right, game number one for me is going to be the Buffalo Bills laying 3 on the road in Seattle. We just got news a few hours ago that DK Metcalf is out for this game. The Bills are, much like the Ravens, a bully team. They are a team in the regular season that like to smash teams, and then when they get to January, they fall short to Patrick Mahomes. This, to me, is the classic bully spot. The defense will be up for that game against Geno Smith, so I'm going to lay the 3 for Buffalo there in Seattle, game number one. Game number two, I hate doing this. I hate doing this. As I say it, I hate doing it. I'm going to lay 10.5 with Denver against Carolina. Carolina goes back to Bryce Young, who stinks. Carolina has maybe 45 people injured for this game. They have no players. Their team is horrible. Denver's a lot better than we thought they would be this year. They definitely have a really good defense. Even if they win 13-0, you're going to cover this number. It's a big number. I hate doing that, but there's a reason it's that big. Give me Denver minus
10.5. And I was so excited to see this line because, as you know, this is the first Jet game. This is the first positive Jet game in the positive Tommy Jet era. So I have a little wiggle room here. I'm picking the Jets to win. The Jets will be 1-0 in the positive Tommy era, but they will not cover the number. The Pats will cover.
Wow.
Pats will cover.
What a chicken bleep pick.
I'm paid for wins, not for covering. Give me the Pats to cover, but the Jets to win.
Unbelievable.
Tiki,
I'm going to go against Sean. Give me Arizona. Give him 4.5. Going to Jets. They're going to win by more than 7. So give me the Jets, land 7. And then the Eagles get Cincinnati Bengals on the road. They're a dog. I like the Eagles plus 2.5.
All right. Here's where I'm starting. I'm starting with the team America loves to hate, the Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be the Dallas Cowboys' last stand because I don't think it's actually going to continue to get pathetic. I think the Cowboys are about to have their signature victory against a Niner team that, let's face it, is beat up big time. They're dealing with major, major injuries all over the place. The quarterback looks unimpressive. I think this is the Cowboys' national TV last stand. And I'm getting 3.5. So in game number one, give me the Dallas Cowboys getting 3.5 against the San Francisco 49ers.
Great pick. You are aware Micah Parsons has been ruled out again.
Yeah, I'm totally aware.
Okay.
Are you trying to sway me or something like that?
I don't want you feeling cheated. That's all.
I mean, do you know how many guys are out for the San Francisco 49ers?
Look, and you've been paying attention to a lot of baseball. I'm just keeping you up to date.
I'm well aware about Micah's injuries. Still not concerned. This is the absolute, like, signature Cowboys moment. And I know it bothers you because as bad as the Giants are, you like to see your other division rivals struggle. It's not going to happen on Sunday night. Dallas, game number one, getting the 3.5. Game number two, I'm going to go head-to-head with somebody who I work with. Who should I go head-to-head with? Sean Morash. The Jacksonville Jaguars are turning their season around. It began in London. It began in a weird place. It began against a crappy team. The renaissance is on. Give me the Jaguars getting 3.5 against the very overrated Green Bay Packers. Plus, one other factor about the Green Bay Packers, who do they now employ?
Robert Saleh.
Amen. I win. And game number three, the New York Jets against the New England Patriots with the Jets laying 7. I may be wearing green today. I may be optimistic that maybe this season won't become the complete bleep hole that it's on the way to becoming. They're not clearing 7. Are we crazy? I mean, come on. Tiki asked me before when I said, the Jets need to blow out the Patriots. I said that. I believe that. And Tiki looks at me and says, do you think they will? I said, no. You'd have to be a fool to think that. So what I envision on Sunday is they're going to survive. It's going to be ugly. I'm not going to feel good about myself. Sean will mock me on Monday when I say something positive about winning. Tommy's going to beat his chest and take full responsibility for it, which is fine with me. But I think Jet fans, we're in to buckle up. Like, this is not going to be easy. I think the Patriots are actually going to come out and play one of their best games of the year because I think they are inspired. They got called out by their coach. They were called soft. So I think we'll win. I'm with Loogie on that. But there's no way I'm laying 7 points. Give me the New England Patriots getting the 7 against the Jets. So I'm taking 3 underdogs. Jacksonville getting 3.5. Dallas getting 3.5. The Patriots getting 7. For those on the TV side, stay tuned for Baseball Not in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on SNY. So those are our picks for Week 8 in this NFL season. Yeah. God, I hope I'm wrong about the Jets, though.
Because why? You want them to be dominant.
I think... And look, maybe on Monday I would completely change my mind on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this team right now needs such an ass-whooping that I think it goes a long way more than just your regular, all right, they survived 13-9. And look, things can start that way. You can start with an ugly win and then just start to play better. You know, you go beat on Halloween the Texans on a Thursday night. Trust me, no one's going to give a rat's ass about how you played against New England. But I think they are so beaten right now that it would just be nice to have a convincing win.
Well, they're also getting... the narrative turned on them. There was so much positivity coming into this season. I mean, it was the same thing last year, but there was an excuse last year because Aaron Rodgers got hurt right away. But all the positivity is just waning because they just haven't played well. And a lot of that is Aaron Rodgers. And so they need something to be positive about,
right?
Both internally and for them to get excited about, but also for us, for the fan bases, for the media. I know that, you know, players sometimes like to blame media, but media is just and fans are just reacting to what they're seeing.
That's all we're doing.
There's no ill intent. It's just you're putting a bad product on the field.
Right.
So play better. And trust me, Jet fans want to be positive.
Well,
they want to like experience the expectation that they had all offseason. And it hasn't happened.
Two things can be true. Like Aaron Rodgers said, I forget how it was phrased, but hey, what do you guys need to do? And he said, number one, not listen to you guys.
Yeah.
And people took that as a shot at the media, and I didn't. I actually took it as advice you once gave to the Giants,
yeah,
which was, hey, Giant players, don't listen to me. Don't listen to our radio show.
Right.
Don't listen to our radio station. Because nothing good comes out of that. And Aaron Rodgers, it would be smart to not listen to us or the New York media or social media. Like, because all we're saying, and we're not saying anything wrong, is we're saying you guys suck because you guys do suck right now. But nothing good comes out of hearing that. The only good comes out of fixing it.
Yeah.
Fix it.
Right.
Don't listen to what the media is saying. Don't listen to what the fans are saying. Because trust me, what we're saying, while not out of school at all, is not good about you. So go fix it. That's really what it comes down to.